And I'm so glad that I have an opportunity to actually be a part of that call here at Imago and to serve as the pastor here. And I'm glad to be all together this week. Some of you know that this week I and my family got to go on vacation for a couple of days, and it was really a beautiful time. It was a beautiful time with my wife, Charlotte, celebrating 7 years of marriage, and we got to celebrate our anniversary together and just enjoy some time in the sun and hang out down in Southern California, drop the kids off with the grandparents, and just enjoy some freedom finally. And it was just a wonderful time, but I'll be honest with you, it wasn't all fun and games. I actually got extremely sick at one point. I caught a 103-degree fever down in Southern California. I was almost just steps away from going to the emergency room. And so on, and 2 of our days in our, 5-day vacation, I was just sick in bed. So that's not what anyone expected. But it was how it turned out. But I'm grateful to be here and to be back once again. Me fui en vacación y me enfermé en la vacación. But then on top of the 103-degree fever and almost needing to go to the emergency room, on top of all that, we also got to experience not one, not two, but 3 earthquakes. 3 earthquakes that were the most intense in the last 20 years in the state of California. Hasta hubieron 3 terremotos esta semana pasada. And so, all joking aside, one thing I am grateful for is, yes, it was a time of joy and refreshment with my wife and with my family down in Southern California. But one thing I'm also just rejoicing over is the fact that there was no life loss during these earthquakes. I mean, these were giant magnitude earthquakes. And that truly is a miracle. Es gran milagro que nadie perdió la vida durante el terremoto. And so that's something that we can count as a blessing. And there are a lot of things, just like we talked about here in the question, things that we can just take for granted and call a coincidence, when really God is at work. God is at work in ways that we may not even be aware of in our lives. Dios está haciendo una obra en cada una de nuestras vidas. And so today we're going to open up this passage, Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 to 9. And we're going to just look at it with open hearts and open ears and see what it is that God may be speaking to us today, about things we may take for granted and things that God may understand that we may not understand. So let's go ahead and open up the scriptures. Vamos a abrir las escrituras. Isaías 55, 6 al 9. Let's open up the scripture to Isaiah 55, 6 to 9. And I will read it first in Spanish, and then I'll read it for us again in English. Primero voy a leer 2 versículos en español y después en inglés voy a leer los versículos. So let's go ahead and read now from the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 to 9. Isaías capítulo 55, versículos 7 al 9. Nuestro Dios que es generoso para perdonar, y de él recibirá misericordia. Porque, dice Dios, mis pensamientos no son los de ustedes, ni sus caminos son los míos, afirma el Señor. Mis caminos y mis pensamientos son más altos que los de ustedes, y más altos que los cielos sobre la tierra. Isaiah 55:6-9 tells us, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Es la palabra de Dios. Let's pray together. God, we thank you that you are not just some big version of us, Lord, but you know so much more, and you know so much better, God Almighty. And Lord, we just pray, God, that today you would speak to us in a way that is clear, in a way that is direct, Lord, in a way that we're able to receive. And Lord, we just pray that you would really, some of those doubts that we have, that you would speak into them, God. Te damos gracias, Señor, porque nos encuentras tal como estamos. Y te pedimos hoy, Señor, que nos hables en una manera clara y directa. Lord, we lift you up and we give you all the glory. Be with us during this time. It's in the faithful name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Amen. So as people created in the image of God, we have a hunger, a deep hunger. And the deepest hunger that we have as people is the hunger to connect with God, to connect with ourselves, and to connect with other people. And God is fully aware of this because he created us in his image. So he knows that we have this need. Dios sabe que tenemos la necesidad para conectar con Dios y con otros seres humanos. So God is fully aware that we have this need. So what God does is he always takes the first step in connecting with us. And God taking the first step in connecting with us is actually what the Bible calls covenant. Covenant is God initiating connection with us. And that is a word that we see throughout the scriptures, throughout different parts. El pacto es la conexión que Dios tiene con la humanidad. And so we see this word, covenant, many times throughout the scriptures. But all covenant means is that, is God's deals and dealings with humanity. So when we come together around the Bible and we read from it together, what we're reading is a covenantal book. We're reading about the story of God and humanity, about how God deals with us as humanity. Vemos en las Escrituras la historia de Dios y la humanidad. So when we open up the scriptures, when we study it, when we preach it here on Sundays, that we see this bigger story of how God takes the step in connecting with humanity. And that story is actually culminated in Jesus Christ. Jesus is that connection between God and humanity. He's the one that gives us a way to connect to the living God. God actually shows up, he sends his son, and he connects us directly to him. Dios nos manda a Jesucristo para poder conectar con él. And we also see how in the scriptures, God has been at work for many, many generations. And then we see how in Jesus, he is that ultimate connection, fully God and fully human, the perfect one that can bring that union where it seemed like there was only separation. Jesucristo es el único que nos puede conectar con Dios y traer esa unión. So we see throughout the scripture this bigger story, this covenant story that the Bible invites us into. It tells the story of people in all times, that's relevant for all times in all different places. And then in Jesus, we see the key to it all. The key that connects us to God and connects us to ourselves and connects us to each other. En Jesucristo vemos la llave, la clave que nos conecta a Dios y nos conecta a otros seres humanos también. And this is what we're invited to. We're invited to connection. To connect with God, to reconnect with ourselves, and to connect with each other. So these covenant scriptures can be both comforting, because they remind us of that. They remind us of this need that we have to go deeper, to have Jesus be the one, to be that key, to reconnect us. But then, these scriptures can also be comforting on the one hand, but also challenging on the other hand. Las escrituras pueden ser escrituras que nos dan que nos pueden dar consuelo, pero también que nos pueden confrontar también. So scriptures can be both comforting and challenging at the same time. They can comfort us in our deepest hardship, and they can also convict us to repent of our defects, to repent of our sin that we're using to destroy ourselves and to hurt other people. God will go there. God will both comfort us and challenge us. God, through this living word, is actually like a close friend. A close friend who loves at all times, but is unafraid to engage in healthy conflict for our own good and for our own betterment. Las escrituras y la palabra de Dios es como una amistad que nos ama, pero también no tiene miedo tener conversaciones difíciles con nosotros. I love how in the book of Proverbs, chapter 27, verse 6, we see a good description of what the Word of God can be like to us, something that both comforts us and challenges us at the same time. We see in Proverbs 27, verse 6, these words, faithful are the wounds or the rebukes of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. So that's exactly what the Word of God does. It doesn't deceit us with just a bunch of comfort all the time, but it comforts us when we truly need it, and we also are challenged when we truly need to be challenged. You know, it reminds me of one of my very good friends in life. Some of you got to meet one of my best friends a couple of weeks ago. He came to Imago, he and his family, and got to be in worship with us. And that was just a wonderful time together. One of my friends, Vinny, he's a math professor, and it was wonderful to just see him here. And he and I got to have hours and hours and hours of conversation together, because together, we get to be that for each other. We get to be friends who comfort one another, but also challenge each other. I hope that we all have people like that in our lives. People that can comfort us and challenge us as well. Mi esperanza es que todos tengamos gente que nos puede dar consuelo, pero también nos pueden confrontar con cosas difíciles. Eso es lo que Dios hace por medio de su palabra. So here in the scriptures, we see in the Bible that this book tells us the story of humanity encountering an unexpected God. A God, as the scripture says, a God whose ways are not our ways and whose thoughts are not our thoughts. En la Escritura vemos que Dios es un Dios que no es como nosotros. Es un Dios que sus pensamientos son más altos que nuestros pensamientos. And so this is what we see throughout the Scripture, a God who comforts us, but a God who also is not afraid to have hard conversations with us. And so what happens when we actually get into relationship with a God like this? ¿Qué es lo que ocurre cuando estamos conectados con un Dios que no es como nosotros? pero que sus pensamientos son más altos. What happens when we are in a close relationship and connected to a God whose ways are not our ways and whose thoughts are not our thoughts? Well, what happens is sometimes there's going to be tension. A veces va a haber tensión. Sometimes there's going to be tension. Why? Because on the one hand, there's us. We are limited, broken people. And yet we're following and trusting an eternal, perfect God. So do you see the tension there? On the one hand, there's limited, broken people. And on the other hand, there's an eternal, perfect God. So when the two connect, there's going to be tension sometimes. And whenever there's tension, there's also questions and there's also doubt. So if we've ever experienced tension or doubt in our life of faith or as we've followed God or followed Jesus, if we've had times where we don't know and we ask God why, guess what? That means we're in a good place. That means that we're actually taking God seriously. We're taking faith seriously. You know, a sign of an unhealthy relationship would be a relationship where no one asks questions, right? That'd be really comfortable, maybe. You do you, I do me. No, but a healthy relationship asks questions. And God invites us into that, into a healthy, growing, and living relationship. And there's going to be times where we ask questions, where we have doubts. There's going to be times where we're going to see, but not everything clearly. There's going to be times where we're going to feel like the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I love what he says. He says, sometimes this life of faith can feel like we can see, but through a glass darkly. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, we see this. We see the word that Paul himself, this is someone that was one of the early leaders of the church. Vemos que hasta Pablo en el Nuevo Testamento, él también tenía preguntas y dudas. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, he says this, for now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I am now fully known. So what do we see? Again, this tension, this between faith and doubt. So when we, limited, broken people, are following an eternal, perfect God, yes, it's not always going to be smooth. There's going to be times of questioning. There's going to be times of tension, of hardship. But here's going to be the invitation for us this month in July, that we would learn to stop seeing faith and doubt as enemies. Faith and doubt are not enemies. But faith and doubt are actually a lot more like dance partners, and sometimes awkward dance partners. But nonetheless, they're dance partners. Doubt is a part of the life of faith. So when we take time to genuinely ask hard questions, when we take time to actually examine ourselves as we follow Jesus, we're doing the right thing. Cuando tomamos tiempo para examinar nuestra vida ante de Dios, estamos haciendo lo correcto. You know, I love how this is something that even the people of God and the early followers of Jesus did as well. The apostles, who were those people that were directly with Jesus, los apóstoles fueron aquellos que estaban directamente con Jesucristo, también preguntaban. We saw the apostles who were directly with Jesus, they would also ask questions. They'd ask questions directly to Jesus. I love this one occasion where the apostles are being asked to pray and they don't know how to. So what do? They ask. They ask Jesus directly. They say, "Lord, teach us to pray. Would you teach us how to do that?" So we don't have to pretend before God. We don't have to pretend before each other, but we can simply ask, "Lord, teach us. Teach us to pray. Teach me how to understand this situation. Give me strength in this challenge that I'm going through."
Los apóstoles le preguntaban a Jesucristo, "Enséñanos cómo orar." Nosotros también le podemos preguntar a Dios que nos enseñe y guíe en esta vida.
So one thing that we see again, as we're understanding that faith and doubt are dance partners, we see that throughout the Bible, every great person of faith, whether we're talking about Abraham or Sarah or Joseph or Jacob or David or Daniel, Esther, Ruth, Moses, even Paul, all these people were people of great faith, but they were all people who wrestled with doubt. We see each and every one of them. They wrestled. They were in this tension as well. And I love how we can even see some of their names in the scriptures, in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, what they call the Hall of Faith. We see the names of people who have been people of great faith, and we see that every one of those people also wrestled with doubt. So how can we actually begin to see the faith and doubt that we experience, how can we see that as something that actually draws us closer to God rather than farther from God? So we're going to be doing that this month.
Este mes vamos a andar entreteniendo diferentes preguntas.
We're going to be engaging different questions about God, about faith, about the Bible. And really, what we're going to start with is, what's our attitude? How are we asking these questions? There's two types of ways to ask questions about God, about faith, and about the Bible. And the first is the one that we're going to be doing, and that is a genuine ask, just like the apostles asked Jesus, "Lord, would you teach us to pray?" When we genuinely ask God, it is saying, "Lord, I don't know, but Lord, would you teach me?" So that's genuinely asking. But we all know that there's another way to ask and question God as well. And that second way is actually through what is called rebellious questioning. Rebellious questioning is very different than genuinely asking. Rebellious questioning is saying, "You know what? I don't know, and I've made up my mind that I don't want to know. And in fact, I'm just using this question to attack you, to attack a person of faith." But what we're going to do together is not do just rebellious questioning, but we're going to genuinely ask. We're going to come before the feet of the Lord. We're going to come before each other, and we're going to genuinely ask the things that we don't know. And we'll see how God's going to use that to build up and to sharpen and to bless each other. Rebellious questioning is just used for pride and for ego and to puff up. But what we're going to do this month through genuinely asking is we're going to do that in love, in humility, in wisdom, and to do that in a way to build each other up and to bless each other. So together this month, we're going to build each other up with this faith and doubt conversation.
Juntos este mes vamos a estar teniendo estas conversaciones de fe y la duda.
We're going to take time to even have some questions and answers, some Q&A time. And in this time, we're going to continue this summer rhythm of sharpening one another. Sharpening one another by bringing our true selves before a true God. And just to give you an idea, we did this together last year And it was a beautiful time that actually brought us closer to God and to each other. And just to give you a taste of some of the questions we talked about last year, I have them written down here on my notes. Some of the questions we looked at last year were, one, how do we make sense of the Old Testament and the New Testament as one connected story? Two, someone asked about perfectionism in faith. Why do so many religious people want to act perfect when they're not? And why do so many non-church people think that they need to be perfect when they don't need to be to follow Jesus? Then three, we looked at last year, understanding Jesus and other faiths, other religions in the world. Then four, as Christians, how do we respond to mental illness, depression, and suicide when we feel that or when we've seen others go through that? And then five, how do we trust a good God in a suffering world? So that was just last year. We didn't start too easily, but it was a wonderful time, and we engaged that together, and it actually brought us closer to God and closer to each other. And so this year, we'll be looking at some of the questions that came up during our Tuesday night Bible study. And if we can put up some of the questions that came up, they'll be right behind me. But they really all had to do, we took time as a community to just ask, again, genuinely asking, coming before God and saying, Lord, we don't know, would you teach us? And these were some of the questions that came up. Just who is God? What is the person of God and the character of God? Then just a little bit about forgiveness. How do we apply forgiveness? How do we receive God's forgiveness, but how can we also extend forgiveness to others as well? And then number three, how do we hold on to faith during the hard times that do not make sense to us in our lives? And then number four, just right there, is how do we understand the book of Revelation as well as end times theology? Or the technical word is eschatology, right? How do we understand that? And then the fifth, how was God created? That'll connect to who is God and the character of God. And then sixth, how do we understand the spiritual realm? How do we understand miracles, principalities, angels, and demons, the things that are unseen? What do they even mean? How do we understand that as people of faith?